welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino. Paul, I don't even know how you're able to contain yourself. I know what this week means to you. Camp is about to start, and you're not even yourself.
Didn't you see the hole in the wall and the ceiling that I've already put in it from bouncing around the room?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes, I have. So this is really, I mean, look, this is what we've all been waiting for. You know, we've been hosting Big Blue Kickoff Live throughout the entire off season, which, by the way, did it fly by, or is it just me? I mean, right? Like, it flew by, right?
And I think that's because there's so much anticipation that the Giants are going to be so much better and could do something really cool this year. And I think for me, that did make it go by maybe a little quicker than otherwise.
Yeah, so it's here. I mean, we've been talking about it for weeks now, and it is here. Training camp opens up this week. Why don't you let the folks out there know exactly what the schedule is, when and who arrives, and when do practices start?
All right, well, you've got players coming in on Thursday, the 28th, and they're just going to check in and get through their physicals and make sure the coaches know they're here, okay? And then they actually hit the practice field for the first time on Friday. That's when the public can actually come out and watch. The bleachers are set up. Admission is free. They've got seat backs on the bleachers this year, so that's kind of neat. That'll make people a lot more comfortable. And understand something, folks. Check Giants.com and Twitter every day, because not only is the practice schedule out there, the Giants going to be practicing in the morning every day. They're not going to have afternoon practices or nighttime practices. But understand this. If it rains or there's a threat of lightning or anything of that nature, they move the team inside, and you can't come inside and watch. The field house is closed to the public, and so make sure you do that before you come out to the Meadowlands.
So it's going to be a fun few weeks. All the Giants information you need to know is going to be right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. I know you don't have a visual of us right now. Our studio is getting redone, but soon we will be back online with the visual as well as the audio, but we're going to continue to take your calls. Paul and I are with you for the next hour until 1 o'clock. 201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in. I'll still be monitoring Twitter throughout the show. That's hashtag Giants Chat. And as what we've been doing for the past few weeks is we have been really breaking down and previewing each and every matchup for the Giants this coming regular season. And next up is the Detroit Lions. Therefore, Dave Burkett, who joins us, he writes for the Detroit Free Press. He's going to join us to talk a little bit about the Detroit Lions and what Giants fans can expect from that opponent. So, David, welcome in. Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live this afternoon.
No, thanks. Just getting ready for camp up here too. How are you guys doing?
Oh man, we're great. Like I said, we're excited. It's an exciting time. Some big expectations for a lot of folks around New York in regard to what the Giants can do this season. But more importantly, what are the realistic expectations for the Detroit Lions with no Megatron, no Calvin Johnson? How does this change this offense this season?
Yeah, it certainly changes it a great deal. I mean, Calvin was, from the time he entered the league in 2007 until his retirement after this past season, he led the NFL in receptions and receiving yards. So there's no doubt he was a game changer when he was on the field. He's been a security blanket for Matthew Stafford for Stafford's entire career. So look, the Lions offense is going to look different this year. It still should be effective, though. I mean, they have Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, Theo Riddick caught 80 passes as a running back last year, Eric Ebron. The Lions are expecting another step in his development. So I don't think the Lions are without weapons. It's just going to be a different way that they move the ball downfield.
You know, a lot of times fans get hot and cold on a quarterback. Sometimes they love him, sometimes they hate him. Usually they're not kind of in the middle. They're polarized. Matthew Stafford, I got to be honest with you, Dave. I'm not a Matthew Stafford guy, but they have tied their wagon to him. They've committed a lot of money to him. Is he the kind of guy with the weapons you've talked about who is capable of making this a good team?
Well, capable, yes. I mean, you know, he's done it in the past, even for, you know, a long stretch last year. He played really well at the end of the season. And you go back to 2011 when he had the best season of his career, threw for 5,000 yards,
right,
41 touchdowns. But yeah, no, look, he's a guy that he's battled inconsistency throughout his career, and that's always been the knock on him. I mean, the first half of the season, he was awful last year, and magically things turned around the second half. They made the coordinator change. He started taking better care of the ball. You know, that was the big thing. And I know the Lions pointed to protection. You know, maybe they went about upgrading the offensive line this year, and that helped Matthew, or, you know, the second half of the season, that helped. But really, his sack numbers didn't change last year, the first half and the second half of the season. He just did a better job with decision-making, a better job taking care of the ball. Him and Jim Bob Cooter seemed to be on the same wavelength. So, look, I think Stafford, there's a lot to be answered about him. I think we're going to find out a lot this year when he doesn't have Calvin Johnson by his side. He's a very talented quarterback. He hasn't done it consistently throughout his career, so this is a big season for him.
Do you think he's going to get much help from this running game?
Well, you know, the Lions want to be a run-first team, even though they've thrown the ball, you know, for you know, first and foremost, as long as I can remember. And you know, really, I think that was a product of having Stafford's big arm, Calvin. But you look at what Jim Caldwell has done and the way that Bob Quinn has sort of started to build this team, you know, through the lines. You know, they want to take better care of the ball, to have possession of the ball longer, to help their defense a little bit. So they're going to do it by committee. You know, they don't have a workhorse in the backfield. Amir Abdullah, who showed some flashes last year as a rookie, he's going to be the number one guy, but he needs some help. I don't know that that's going to be a running game that they're going to be able to rely upon consistently. But, you know, if they can be somewhere in the top 20 of the NFL in rushing, I think that could make them an effective offense.
In talking about Amir, he's coming off of offseason shoulder surgery, right? Labrum issue.
Exactly.
What's his status right now?
He's ready. He's not on pup to start camp. He's going to be fine. You know, I think they were just taking things carefully with him this spring. Obviously they would have liked for him to be out there to get some work. He didn't play a ton as a rookie. He had some fumble issues, some things like that he could always work on. But the most important thing is keeping him healthy for fall. And by all accounts, he's healthy right now and ready to go.
And let's talk about the offensive line. I mean, this is a team, the Detroit Lions, have invested a number of draft picks, top draft picks, first-round draft picks, third-round draft picks, to solidify that offensive line and to potentially be one of the best in the NFL. And also, oh, by the way, you have a former Giant with you now, and that is Jeff Schwartz. Talk about this offensive line, and where would you rank them heading into the season?
Yeah, you know, they went about, they bring back all five starters from last year, but really that was their focus this offseason, was upgrading that offensive line, because Stafford has taken so many hits the last couple of years, 89 sacks the last two seasons. And they spent a first-round pick on Taylor Decker, who should start at left tackle. They spent a third-round pick on a center, Graham Glasgow, who's going to compete for that job, and a fourth-round pick on Joe Dahl, another offensive lineman who, you know, he's probably going to be a backup as a rookie, but, you know, they foresee him being able to be a starter in this league down the road. So it's going to have a different twist to it. They changed offensive line coaches midway through last year, too, so the scheme is just a bit different. But, you know, really it's going to be Taylor Decker, Riley Reiff, the left tackle, Moose to the right side, and then they got some big maulers inside, and they got to keep those guys healthy, because that was, I think, at least a big reason why they struggled last year.
You know, I think even though the quarterbacks always get all the headlines, I mean, Ziggy Ansah became a dominant defensive pass rusher last season. Now, the Giants aren't going to be playing the Lions, by the way, folks, until week 15, December the 18th, which is, you know, way, way, way near the end of the schedule. In fact, third to last game for New York. But Ansah is a guy who, if he stays healthy, will continue to be one of the most dominant pass rushers in this game, is he not?
Agree. Yeah, no, he took a big step forward last year. And, you know, this is a guy that he only played really one full season of college football. He, you know, he came to this country from Africa, and he went to BYU to be a basketball player in hopes of being a basketball player. And he sort of found his way onto the football team after trying his hand at track. And, you know, to think about where he was 6 years ago when he first, you know, put on shoulder pads for the very first time, to where he is right now, it's amazing. I mean, 14 and a half sacks last year. He was a half sack shy of the Lions' record. He was third in the NFL in sacks. I mean, he really is an explosive pass rusher who, he has better instincts than you would imagine for somebody who's played the game for such a short period of time. So the Lions have no questions about him and what he's going to be. He's a high effort, high motor, high intensity guy, and he's going to provide a lot to that defensive line. I think it's more about those other pieces. If Devin Taylor, who's going to start at left end, if he can add some pass rush, if Haloti Ngata can stay healthy on the inside, I think that's really what's going to determine whether this Lions defense is as good as the Lions think it can be.
Dave Burkett joining us. You can find his work at the Detroit Free Press covering the Detroit Lions. All right, fantasy football question for you. What's the deal with Eric Ebron? What are your expectations for him this season? I mean, how good is he going to be now that Calvin's gone? Do you see him having a bigger role, especially in the red zone?
Well, yeah, I mean, I do think that he could play a factor there. I mean, he was, especially early on last year, he caught a few touchdown passes, and I think that's where he was the biggest threat. I don't know that he's going to put up significantly bigger numbers this year than he did last year. I see another step forward, but, you know, we're probably talking 60, maybe 65 catches. I mean, because the Lions like to and are going to spread the ball out so much, Marvin Jones, Golden Tate, Theo Riddick again, you know, even throw Amir Abdullah, their starting running back. I think all those guys are going to vulture some catches. So I think Ebron's going to have a better year this fall. I don't know if it's going to be this huge breakout season that a lot of people are expecting.
You know, it's been so many years, and I don't need to tell you, David, about, you know, the Lions have just not done a whole lot of winning in the last several decades. Where is the fan base right now? I mean, look, I love Ford Field. I'm going to be honest with you. I never got to see a game in the Silverdome, but I've been out to Ford Field a couple of times, and I love the building. I love the facility. I think it's a really fun place, and it's close. And I think if they can get that fan base really rocking, it could be a good home field advantage.
No, it's been a good home field advantage in the past. I mean, you go back to when they had their first Monday night game here in, you know, it's about a decade. This was 2011. They played the Chicago Bears. I think they caused 9 false start penalties in that game, so the crowd did. So, you know, it certainly can be a good crowd. But, look, if the Lions have a season like they did last year where things go awry and they're not in the playoff mix, by the time the Giants come to town the week before Christmas, you know, I wouldn't expect it to be a great home field advantage at that point. So it's really going to depend on how the Lions are doing at that stage of the season.
Well, that Lions game is here, is it not?
Oh, you're right. It's in New York. Yeah, December 18th in New York.
Yeah, so I missed the building this year, but I do like it.
Yeah, you missed the building. But, no, that's, you know what, I mean, the Lions have a good home field. You know, they have a good crowd. They travel places too. Again, you know, that's their one weather game this year, and that's something that could possibly be a weather game, I guess, in New York in mid-December. You know, past years they played Green Bay and Chicago. They can't seem to avoid those teams sometimes in December, but this year the Giants game is the only one that they're going to have that be a factor.
Dave, before we let you go, if you can, break down the division. You know, obviously a lot of people expecting bigger and better from the Green Bay Packers, especially with Jordy Nelson back. I'm actually a big Teddy Bridgewater fan. I'm really interested to see what he's going to be able to do offensively this year, especially with them giving him some more weapons on the offensive side of the ball and the receiving core. How do you see this division panning out, and how good do you feel the Lions can compete in this division against those teams?
Yeah, look, I think the Lions are, you know, they're probably somewhere in that 500 mix. You know, if things break their way, maybe they can win a game or two more. If things don't, if they have some injuries, they're going to be under 500 again. I think they're going to be a competitive team. I don't think they're going to, you know, win the division or probably even make the playoffs at the end of the day. To me, the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings, they're the two teams that were atop the division last year. They're the two teams that, you know, likelihood will be vying for it again this year. I don't think either one of those teams is an elite team. They certainly, you know, lack depth. I mean, Green Bay has, for having, you know, one of the, if not the best quarterback in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers, you know, I think they probably haven't accomplished enough these last few years. But Minnesota has a very good defense. They still have Adrian Peterson. They need to be factored into the equation. And then the Chicago Bears should be better, though. I think they're probably still a year or two away with some of the pieces that they lack on both sides of the ball.
Fantastic. Great stuff. Thank you so much for joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live this afternoon. Really appreciate your time, your insight, and previewing the Lions for us. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
No problem. We'll talk to you guys again.
You got it. 201-939-4513. That's the phone number you want to get on board. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and you talking all things Giants as camp opens up this week. A really exciting time, not just for fans, but I think for the players as well, Paul, right?
Well, you know, we talked last spring about how there was a buzz around the facility, and then, you know, things kind of went awry, and the team lost a lot of close games. But I think there's a bigger buzz this year because they have brought in some heavy hitters. I mean, you bring in an Olivier Vernon, it has an impact on your building. Let's not kid ourselves. And obviously, Sterling Shepard has done so much during the offseason program. There are people who are really jacked up about him, too. So I agree with you, Anita. I think right now this place is buzzing, and I just can't wait to get going.
All right, let's head out to the phone lines. We've got a few people on board. Let's go to line three. Jason is actually calling in from Denmark. Jason, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. You're first up today.
Hey, how are y'all doing today, Anita?
Welcome. Thanks for listening from all the way out in Denmark.
Yeah, I'm somewhat of a pretty regular caller. What I wanted to talk about today was the balance.
I think we lost him.
Did we lose him?
I think he's gone. Oh, that's a shame.
That is.
Well, Jason, please do call back.
He said balance. Can you name that topic in one word?
Probably.
Remember that show? Can you name that
too? Yeah, probably run balance and pass balance. He's probably trying to figure out if they're going to be a balanced attack. How about that?
Okay, let's roll with that.
All right. We were talking earlier today before we came on the air, Anita. I didn't get a chance to see you before we started, but with some of the guys inside, is this going to be a Rashad Jennings-oriented running game, or is it going to be that running back by committee, which we saw for most of last season and was not really effective? I'm inclined to believe that the Giants will go first and foremost with Rashad Jennings to start the season and try to make him the premier ball carrier. I'm thinking 15 carries a game and maybe a couple of receptions a game too. And then use Vereen in your third down package and maybe even Andre Williams in goal line. But I got a feeling that's the way they're going to start out. And whether or not it works or not, let's see. The line hopes it's better. Will Johnson, the blocking tight end, should help that. And then if it doesn't work out so much, well, then you got to reconfigure the formula. I'll be honest with you. The one wild card in this whole thing, and I know he's way behind, is that UCLA rookie, Paul Perkins, who has incredible quicks. And, you know, if the line isn't blocking so well, what kind of back do you want behind them? You want a guy with quicks because he makes people miss. He makes something out of nothing. That could be an interesting situation that develops if this line isn't up to speed.
And you're right, and it's interesting. On my radio show, that's actually one of the biggest questions I've been getting is what are the expectations for Perkins, and the fact that unfortunately he went to UCLA, and we know what happens when you draft players who are out there on the left coast. Unfortunately, because of their scheduling with colleges, it's hard for them to participate in OTA. So we really haven't had a good look at Perkins in regard to what he can do. I know that there are some big expectations. I know the coaching staff is really excited to see what he can do. But there's a lot of depth here, and there's a lot of talent here. I still think they want to find out what can Andre Williams bring to the equation. I think Andre Williams knows that this is a make-or-break year for him. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to see him step up. I think you're right. I think it's going to be a heavy dose of Rashad Jennings, a change of pace in Shane Vereen. And I think Andre Williams is going to get that first crack more so than Perkins. Although I do believe Perkins, you know, maybe there'll be a few series. Maybe there'll be a few plays. Maybe, you know, each and every game that you know, that they'll put him in. Who knows how, you know, how many games will he be active, inactive, whatever the case. I think we're going to be introduced to Perkins this season as opposed to him coming in and really becoming a star, unless, of course, you know, barring injury, and then you know, they're going to need his services, right?
You got to do me a favor. During training camp, mm-hmm. I want you to keep your eyes open for his jump cut. It is truly special. LeSean McCoy has the best jump cut in the National Football League, in my opinion. The best one I've ever seen was Barry Sanders. There was nothing like a Barry Sanders jump cut.
Mm-hmm.
You can't teach that, okay? It's about instinct. It's about physical ability. It is something special. Paul Perkins has a really good jump cut. I think that's what people are going to get excited about. Watch for that when you come out to training camp. Watch for that in the preseason. It's something special. It's sexy. It makes a coach want to get it on the field. We're going to see what Perkins' role is this year, but I do invite you to watch.
201-939-4513. We're going to continue with your calls, but also don't forget you can hit us up on Twitter, and that's hashtag Giants Chat. This is from Bill. He said, missed a few shows, finally get a chance, but no video. What gives? Video coming back. Yes, Bill, video is going to come back. We are redoing our studios, so hang tight. Do we have a time frame, or we do not
we
yet?
Do not.
We.
Oh, do we, Dave?
Oh.
Really? That quickly? Oh,
wow.
We're not going to promise anybody because in case we can't keep it, we don't want to look bad. But could be sometime this week, maybe.
Okay. So yes, video is going to come back, but the Giants this offseason did a little remodeling in and around the facility.
On the roster, too.
Yes, and the offices. So the studio is going to – the studio got redone. So we will be back up on video soon. This is from AJ. He says, are you glad the Giants are not having afternoon and night practices? I actually enjoy the late afternoon and night practices on occasion.
Well, Coach McAdoo has a reason for this. He said that in his experience in the NFL as a coordinator and as an assistant coach, he found that guys were not as focused, they were not as sharp, and they were not as alert for training camp practices that were later on in the day. He said he feels they are at their best in the mid-morning. So he's hoping to get maximum efficiency out of these practices. That's why he's starting all of them at 10:40. I believe there's a couple of them that are in the 11 o'clock hour. But he said, hey, guys get a little lethargic. They get a little bit distracted by the heat. They get distracted by lunch if we do everything later. Now, there were other folks who said it was better to have a nighttime practice sometimes. And Coach Coughlin did go in for this because sometimes it gives the guys a little break. The heat, the humidity, maybe it's a little bit better at nighttime, and it's a little bit less taxing on the players. Well, look, the Giants have been so badly injured the last 3 years. How well did that work? You know, so Coach McAdoo trying to change it up, this is what he's going to go with.
Also, McAdoo changing a number of things. A revamped weight room, new strength and conditioning program, shortened side fields, and music streaming at their practices. Mm-hmm. And also, the meetings are going to change. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. I read this today. The Giants will hold 3 install meetings per day instead of 2. And the reason is because of millennials. Apparently, the thought process is, in regard to teaching millennials, they absorb information more effectively in short bursts.
I am so far removed from millennial right now that I'm willing to...
I think your daughter is a millennial, isn't she?
I guess she is, yeah, but I guess
does
what
your
I'm...
Daughter, does your daughter learn better in short bursts or two lengthy meetings?
She comes from an Italian family. She listens to her dad.
What does that have to do with my question?
She learns whatever I tell her.
Oh, jeez.
What I will tell you is this. If he has figured that out on the basis of his experience, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, so there'll be 3 meetings instead of 2, and there'll be shortened meetings. And again, this is all to benefit millennials, which, let's face it, I mean, this day and age in the NFL, you know, you've got a young roster. Well, guess what? They're millennials. So that will change as well. 201-939-4513. I believe Jason on line 3 is back from Denmark. Let's try it again. Jason, you there?
Hey, I'm back, Anita.
Fantastic. What you got for us?
Hey, I'll tell you first thing what dedication is. Dedication is I'm calling BBLK, or KL, sorry, and I'm taking you on shopping in Denmark. I'm getting some stuff to make some spaghetti for dinner. And I get on the line, and I start talking, and I get cut off. And I leave my shopping cart full of groceries in the middle of the store to walk out to reconnect with you all.
Well, we'll go ahead. You made it.
Upset with me, but you know, Big Blue Click Off Live first.
There you go. I
love
it, Jason.
You're the man, Jason. You're the man.
Those folks in Denmark, they just have to deal.
Yeah, but they're the happiest people in the world, so they'll probably just look at it, smile, and keep going.
Aren't they though?
Yeah. So, what I wanted to talk about, I'm originally a New Yorker from Sunnyside, Queens. Just to let y'all know.
Okay.
So. What my comment was is we always go to the offensive line sooner or later in the show, and a lot of times it's negative. I wanted to rewind the year when Newhouse, when everyone was like really dogging Newhouse, and And I kind of believe that, not that he straight up proved them wrong, but he did, from what people were doing and saying, he did all right. So with the new defense having to practice with them, wouldn't he not be even a little bit better?
Well, the hope is that the continuity of the line will help them improve somewhat. It's the second year that these starting five look to be together. And so that in itself inherently may give them some improvement. Newhouse was signed to be a backup. He was signed to be the third tackle. He was forced into starting duty last year. I think unofficially, according to my records, I think he had like seven or eight penalties called against him, gave up five sacks. Look, again, the Giants did not run the ball nearly as well to the right side as they needed to. So would you want to upgrade if you could? Absolutely. Is it a total unmitigated disaster? No, of course not. Eli Manning could not do what he's done these last 2 years if any part of the line was an absolute disaster. So that's not the case. It's somewhere right in the middle. You know, but you can't just sit back and say, okay, it's good enough. We don't want to get better. Of course you want to get better. You have to. You just won six games last year.
Right, right. All right, and the last thing I wanted to say was good job on While Y'all Were Gone. I stayed tuned to all the recorded shows y'all had and was actually really awesome. And I kind of felt like, how come y'all never interview Eli? And then you had a interview with Eli up there. I think John did it. So great job on the show. I'll keep listening all the way here in Denmark. And let's go Big Blue this season.
Jason, thank you so much. Thanks again for listening all the way in Denmark. Appreciate it. Love it. Let's go to line two. Brandon is joining us. Brandon, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Yes, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I want to pick up on that offensive line because that's what I called them for, and I want to ask a few questions as well. Now, I believe, is it still any competition at the right tackle position? Because it seemed like they just penciled in Newhouse, forgetting about Bobby Hart. I'm hearing that Bobby Hart is still a year away. I'm not sure if that's the case because y'all did more, but that's what I'm hearing. And I believe they should still have an open competition. And then I'm hearing Anthony Davis just fouled this thing. So I'm wondering if the Giants would try to even probably put in the call. And do you think they're going to give B.J. Goodson a real good shot at the middle linebacker position?
All right, you got 3 points there. So let's take them one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
First things first, in terms of the offensive line, I think very few guys are locked in and cemented in as starters in the starting lineup right now as the Giants open training camp. There are guys who have a lead on a position, but to say that they're locked in, you can't tell me that John Jerry and Marshall Newhouse are 100% locked in and that no matter what happens during training camp, they're going to start against Dallas opening day. I'm not going to believe that. I do think that there is a certain level of competition there, and Bobby Hart is certainly one of the guys involved. Question number two was about B.J. Goodson, the inside linebacker who was taken in this year's draft. Had over 100 tackles last year, Anita, in his first year as a full-time starter in college. But I think that also is part of the issue here. He was only a full-time starter at a big-time D1 program for 1 year. He was a part-time player the year before, and the 2 years before that, he barely played at all. So he's got a lot to learn. I think it's unrealistic to expect with veterans like Brinkley and Shepard and Robinson ahead of him on the depth chart, it's unrealistic to expect that Goodson could compete for a starting job. But I do think he will make the roster. Now, what was number three? There was Goodson. There was the offensive line. I forget what the other point was. What was it about?
No.
Good.
He's not on the line anymore.
Oh, okay. What was it? Do you know what it was?
And you don't remember?
I don't remember what it was. There were 3 points he had. One was the offensive line. One was Goodson. And I forget the
linebacker? Linebacker position?
Oh, I was talking about Goodson.
Right.
Yeah. I got lost. I'm looking at Frankie here, and I'm getting lost.
Oh, stop it. Let's go to Ed. He's calling in from Maryland. He wants to talk about the defense. Ed, welcome in.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hi.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, I mean, I had a question about Spagnuolo's defense. I mean, I know in years past with Antonio Pierce, and guys like Chase Blackburn, they were the veteran backers calling our plays, barking our plays and stuff like that. And I was just kind of curious of how, you know, who's going to be that Mike linebacker that's going to be the veteran leader, you know, barking out the plays, changing audibles, because a big part of Spags' defense is that middle linebacker seeing what the quarterback is trying to do and playing a cat-and-mouse game, changing the plays. So I was kind of wondering who he has the intellect that could, you know, bark out those plays and lead the defense. I'm kind of hoping it's Robinson because he's athletic enough to stay on the field all three downs. And then my second point, I wanted to bring up JPP's hand. He had off-season surgery on his hand, but it seemed like his middle finger actually, you know, turned into a nub. Like it was kind of fat and large last year. And I thought the surgery there was going to make it, you know, a little slimmer, but it seemed like that finger turned to a nub. So I know there's a lot of optimism about his hand being a better shape to be able to tackle, but I it's like he has two fingers, two nubs, and then the index finger obviously is gone. So I want to know if you got some concerns about his hand. And another running back name I've thrown out there on Sirius XM Radio is Marshawn Coppers. He's an undrafted free agent running back.
Yep.
He's an outstanding athlete.
I'm
not sure you guys studied him, but in the draft, a lot of scouts had him as a second back ranked behind Elliott, and he won undrafted because of some things off the field. But a lot of people talking about Perkins and stuff like that, but Coppers, I think, you know, is going to surprise the preseason. I mean, he has everything. He, you know, the power to run with the behind the tackles and everything. So that's my three things for today, guys.
All right. Well, in terms of Coppridge, I believe Illinois State, FCS, competition is going to be an issue for him because he's got to take a step up. I do like him as a solid practice squad player to start with. Don't think he's going to make the 53. There are a lot of veteran running backs ahead of him on the depth chart. In terms of the inside middle linebacker spot, you know, Anita, you may disagree, and it's okay. I kind of think that Jasper Brinkley, to me, would have a little bit of an edge on Shepard and a little bit of an edge on Robinson. Certainly Goodson, we mentioned before. Brinkley played well when he got into the starting lineup the second half of last season. I would think, you know, he's the guy. I will say this, though, to the caller's point. Intellectually wise, Robinson looks like he's got a good head on his shoulders. Shepard knows what he's doing, and Brinkley certainly knows what he's doing. So I don't think it's going to be a matter of who gets the defense down and who can make the calls. I think this is going to be physical skill set. Who makes more plays in the preseason? That's the guy who's going to win the job. And Robinson, by the way, first time in his career, he was practicing. He was doing some strong side stuff. Remember, he comes from the Redskins 3-4 when he was in Washington. Played middle and played strong side and played inside on the strong side. In spring training, if I could steal a baseball term, with the Giants, he played some weak side. That was new for him. So the Giants are trying to get some versatility out of Robinson.
So obviously you've got, we're in agreement, Devon Kennard is definitely going to start. But you've got some question marks with Keenan Robinson. You said Brinkley, and then also there's Jonathan Casillas, who, by the way, a lot of people feel is going to outperform JT Thomas for that weak side linebacker spot. Do you agree with that?
Casillas has the capability to be a nickelbacker and has the ability to be a good coverage guy. He had a lot of busted assignments last year, though, and that concerns me, because if you don't have all your plays down and you're not mentally sharp each and every play and you start breaking down, you can really hurt that defense a lot. I just wonder if he becomes a more of a full-time player, if they're concerned about him and his knowledge of the playbook. It's an issue. You know, I think right now he's a good role player. I don't know that I would consider him a starter.
201-939-4513. We go to Michael in New York. Michael, you're up on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Hi.
Hi. I have a few questions about the Giants' record this season.
Okay.
I was wondering if you guys thought they would get at least 10 wins, because that's my prediction, 10-6, with all their free agent signings and their draft picks.
Well, why did you take that one?
I'm predicting that they win 10 games this season, but I'm more optimistic. You and I are more optimistic than I think what a lot of NFL analysts do expect for this team. I just I really do believe offensively they're going to take a step up, and defensively the amount of money and talent that they've added to this defense, I think they could contend as possibly one of the best defenses in the NFL. So, Michael, I'm with you. I'm looking at 10 games.
Yeah.
That it?
Well, I have another question about their running backs. Who do you think will be the starter?
Well, we were talking about Rashad Jennings before as probably being the guy who gets the most touches, and I do think that's going to be the case unless either he gets hurt. Remember, last year was the first time in his career he played all 16 games. First time ever. And that was great.
Yeah, but why?
Partly because they reduced his touches.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's why.
Hey, Anita, we got to tell folks about Giants.com. Just put up on their website this morning as we were starting the program the list of alumni autograph appearances that will be at each and every one of the training camp practices.
Okay.
I just want to alert people to that. Go to Giants.com, and for every one of the public practices, the Giants are going to have at least two alums here to sign autographs and take pictures. And on Friday, this week, coming up, as the Giants open up practice and have their first practice of the summer, Henry Hanoski and Antonio Pierce. That's
Henry.
Pretty good. That's a good combination.
The Hippo.
So they're going to be here on Friday if you're coming out to the opening day of training camp. So that's good stuff. And then, go to Giants.com, and there are a bunch of other guys who are going to be here during the course of the next 3 weeks.
Here are some tweets for us. By the way, hopefully you follow the Giants at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. And this is from Freddie. He says, I really think Paul Perkins' biggest impact this year will come on special teams, especially on kickoffs. Paul?
Well, you know what? I don't know, because Dwayne Harris is the Giants' lead guy in terms of kickoff returns and punt returns. If he's able to concentrate on special teams and the Giants receiving corps does its job and he doesn't have to necessarily step up and be a bigger part of the receivers, then his role is going to be the key special teams guy on this team. He's one of the best in the league at doing specials and returns. So I would say, could Perkins maybe help him out a little bit there? Maybe. But I think Dwayne Harris is the man.
Also, this is funny. Giants 631 said, along with the studio getting a little renovation, it would be nice to see the board in the back in an update as well. Well, hopefully we'll see what happens there. That's on John Schmelk, by the way. So make sure to tweet that to John Schmelk. He controls the backboard.
No baby pictures of us like on the back wall?
No.
Not a good idea?
No. E, the chosen one, says, PDOT, do you finally get to see your safety battle?
Well, I mean, it looks like Terrion Thompson has a real leg up on that free safety spot. I don't know how much of a battle that's going to wind up being. He's pretty good.
And then this is for me. He's asking me, am I excited to see Double O healthy? Heck yeah, I am. I've been a huge fan and was upset that he really didn't get a lot of playing time last year, of course, because of injury. So, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what him and Kerry win. I'm excited to see what both Double O and Kerry Wynn can do, coming, both of them being that fifth man off the bench.
Yeah, Kerry Wynn, took a step back last year. The more they played him, the less they got production out of him. He seemed to be a guy who was much better when he was in spot duty. Now, maybe that's because his motor ran low. Maybe. Maybe that's because teams figured him out. I don't know. But the Giants could really use a boost out of Wynn playing like he did a couple of years back. And obviously, Double O, wow. Anita, once again, you look at a guy's skill set and you say he could be a really good player. Demontre Moore comes to mind. Terrific skill set. But it takes a lot more than skill set to be a successful player in the NFL. We'll see if Double O can make it happen.
Bill wants to know, what about Beedy? How is his rehab? Think he could come back to the Giants?
I don't think either one of us think he's going to be back here.
No, I don't think so. I think he wants to play left tackle.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. Listen, I've been speaking to a lot of folks about Eugene Monroe and his retirement. And granted, yes, he said he retired because of the concussion issue. But there are a number of analysts in and around the NFL who feel that if a team would have offered him left tackle opportunity and left tackle money, he probably would have come back. He just wasn't willing to risk the concussion playing on the right side of the line and making right tackle money.
Well, you know what? There are a lot of reasons why guys do things, and I'm sure that that's probably one of them. I will say this, though, about Beedy. Remember, at the end of the year, he had rotator cuff surgery, and the word was he was going to have to rehab and wouldn't go on any visits around the league until June. Well, June has come and gone, and I haven't seen his name attached to anybody. So I don't know where his rehab is and if he's even looking to take visits right now. Maybe he's not ready to open training camp. Maybe the arm isn't right. I don't know the answer to that, but his name has not been anywhere.
No, you're absolutely right. Also, it's important Giants understand and know that Odell Beckham Jr. has launched his own Odell Moji.
You're not all over this?
Do you even know what that is, Paul?
Yeah, I do.
Do you know what emoji is?
And not only that, I actually looked at them. Some of them are pretty funky.
Have you... funky. Paul Dottino using the word funky. Do you did you download the emoji app?
I did not download the app, but I saw some samples. And I got a good chuckle out of them.
Okay. So
you already did?
No, I haven't, but I'm sure I... Are you kidding? I'm sure I will.
You have to.
I'm
well,
sure
you,
I will.
You will. You're hip.
I'm sure I
unlike
will.
Unlike me.
So just go to your your store on your phone and look for the Odell Beckham Jr. emoji app and download. I'm sure Giants fans are going to want to use that throughout the season. 201-939-4513. Let's head back out to our calls. We go to Marco on line 4. He's calling in from Connecticut. Marco, welcome.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Fantastic.
I called about the defense, and I will definitely get to that, but I just as I was on hold, I was listening to Anita, what she was saying about Eugene Monroe, and I think what's going to end up coming down for the Giants is they just should, even at this point, it's so early, training camp hasn't started yet, stand pat with the right tackle position, see what you have, and you know, hopefully something shakes out where if they do need to bring in a player, it's a player that has played right tackle, wants to continue to play right tackle, because I think it's very difficult with these, a lot of the names that were rumored with these guys that strictly want to play left tackle. I mean, if they happen to throw a lot of money at Eugene Monroe, not just the Giants, any team.
Right.
I mean, what does that say that, yeah, he'd probably come in and only want to play left tackle, or if the price isn't great, maybe he'll just retire. So I think the Giants made the right call to stand pat and not get involved in that. Maybe the guy's heart just isn't into it anymore, you know?
Well, you make an interesting point, Anita. Let me ask you this flat out. I mean, how do you feel about a guy who not only was thinking about retirement, but actually has done it, and then all of a sudden if he comes back just for the check, do you think he's invested? Do you think he's all in? Do you think you want a player like that on your team?
Right.
Or do you have to pick his brain and figure out maybe he was just confused, messed up, and didn't know what he wanted to do?
I think his motivation is I'm not looking in and saying, well, if he comes in, his effort is going to be any less. I understand that if he's going to come in and he's going to play, he wants to play left tackle and he wants to make left tackle money. He doesn't want to come in and risk a concussion or concussion issues by making Y amount of money and playing the right tackle position. I totally get it, and I respect it, and this is the decision he made. I'm not looking at it like, well, even if he would have come in to play left tackle, he wouldn't have played as hard. I'm not looking at it like that. No, not at all.
Okay. All right. I'll shift to what I called about the defense. I think this is lining up for Spagnuolo to finally have, you know, a defense where we could see him officially, you know, unleash his plan and, like, what he wants to do with certain parts. You know, I think back to when he was here the first time around, and if you were focusing on that defense, you immediately Strahan and OC jump out at you. But what really made that defense take the turning point for that defense were guys like Tuck and, you know, what he was able to do with, like, a Kavika Mitchell. So I'm looking at this team. I think Kennard and Double O are the two guys that, I mean, Giants fans, I think there's some Giants fans that are even sleeping on those two players, especially Kennard. I mean, I found myself this offseason, I'm thinking about the team, and I can count on maybe one hand how many times I thought about Devin Kennard. He's dropped off a little bit for me, but I know it's because of what happened last year. And I think, and I'd love to get your feedback on this. I mean, those two players, especially, it doesn't have to be crazy sack numbers, but the matchups that they could present four Spags and what they could do for a JPP and Vernon. Mm-hmm. Even put Landon Collins in there. If Landon Collins could take the jump into the second year and really show to be that standout safety, now you're talking about a real good Spagnuolo money defense. What do you guys think about that?
Well, let me just say this. You're looking at JPP and Vernon off the edges for sure, but if Kennard can prove that he is a dangerous blitzer like he did 2 years ago as a rookie when he had 4.5 sacks over the last month and a half of the season, you're now talking about a three-pronged pass rush, okay? Aside from anybody else who you might want to send on a particular play, you're telling the offense, we have three guys who can get to your quarterback. Offensive coordinators don't like to hear that. That causes them to lose sleep, okay? So, yeah, I'm with you 1,000%. If Devon Kennard can stay healthy enough and prove that he can become part of that pass rush package, it makes the Giants immensely more dangerous on defense.
Yes. And Double O, I think Double O, these are big shoes to fill, but when I think of Double O, I think of how Spags used Tuck and just moved them everywhere, moved them all over
well,
the defensive line.
Understand one thing about Double O, though, and this is why I don't want to address him as strongly as I do Kennard, because Double O missed virtually his whole rookie season because of injury, so he's kind of like a pseudo-rookie. I mean, he was around last year, but he basically didn't get to do a whole lot because he was hurt. You know, don't put too many high expectations on him. Yes, would I like him to be part of the top four defensive end rotation, you know, with Kerry Wynn behind the two starters? There's no question. Are they going to need some good snaps out of him? Absolutely. But be careful what you put on him as realistic expectations, because he is still very, very green. I like his skill set, but he's green.
Fair. That's fair enough. Guys, I'll talk to you soon. I'm excited for camp. And, Paulie, I'll be calling you in the next few weeks with a little 53-man projection.
Okay, brother.
Take care.
Love it. Marco, thank you. Let's go to line one. John is calling in from Jacksonville. John, welcome in.
How you doing, Anita? Hey, Paul, Quesadich.
Hi.
Hey, listen, I got two questions. First question is, if and when Anthony Davis gets reinstated and the Giants go after him, what would be a good viable compensation to you for his services?
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I want to explain to you the system and the mechanism of how this works, and then you can be the judge as to whether or not you believe it's realistic. What you have is a player who has come out of retirement now to file his reinstatement papers after some injuries and also some dissatisfaction with 49er ownership. Now, is he filing those papers because he wants to come back and play for the 49ers? Maybe. We haven't heard anything from his camp in the media over the last 24 hours. So I don't know if these papers are being filed because he wants to play for San Francisco or if this is to facilitate the ability of the Niners to trade him. Because understand something. No team is able to talk to him while he is the property of the Niners and while he's on the retirement list. Otherwise, you get flagged for tampering.
Okay.
So if Team X wanted Anthony Davis, what they would have had to have done is told the 49ers, if that player comes back onto your active roster, we'd like to talk to you about him. They could talk to potentially his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, and say, Drew, if that player is coming back, just so you know, we'd be interested if he's going to play. And so that's how you set it up. Now, he files his papers. Now it's up to the 49ers to either field a phone call about a potential trade or for them to make a phone call and say, guess what, guys? Anyone around the league interested? We've got this player back on our active roster, and we're certainly willing to listen to offers. So that's the mechanism that we're talking about here. Until he filed those papers yesterday, he was off the table. You could not talk about him. So now teams are going to be at least able to have conversation with the 49ers if they would like to try to trade for him. That's where we stand right now. So if you want to tell me you want to try to make a deal for him because you're the GM of the Giants, well, then I say go ahead. Make your phone call. have conversation, and see what comes of it.
Okay, now, what would you give up in your personal feeling? Would you give up a conditional fourth?
Yes.
Good. Good, I agree with you on that.
I don't call the shots, though.
Question. What is the probability, and this is my feeling so far, Dante Dean, I think so, making a team as a slot corner, solely a slot corner? And that's the last I have, and I'll take the question offline.
I'm with you. I think this rookie out of Boise State, this undrafted rookie free agent, is my dark horse for training camp. I do like him, but yeah, he is a slot corner and a special teams guy. I don't think he's going to be able to deal with guys on the outside, because in this league, they're bigger, stronger, and faster than they are at Boise State. That simple. He's
all
a
right.
slot guy.
Let's continue with our calls. Let's take two more before we end the show. We go to line two, James calling in from NYC. James, you're up.
Hey, Anita Paul. Thanks for taking the call. How you doing?
All right.
Quick question just regarding Odell Beckham and his rise to superstardom. He's clearly an active social media guy. Do you think it's a good idea for Ben McAdoo, being a first-year head coach, to kind of sit him down and say, hey, may not be a bad idea to limit distractions with the team if you were to lay off social media during the season?
No, I think it's a good idea that Eli Manning does that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just feel like, I mean, I follow him on all social media, and he spends a lot of time there, and I get it. And I mean, he meets a lot of people. He's a superstar. So do you think that Eli Manning, knowing the type of personality he has, would be the type of guy to sit him down and have that conversation?
I think so. Their lockers are, they sit one locker apart. Nassib is right in between them. I think the message will have a lot more weight if it comes from Eli as opposed to McAdoo. But, you know, and thank you for the phone call. Again, this is another topic that I've been discussing on my radio show, and I quoted Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley came out on the NFL Network, NFL Access show, and said, beware of the fame monster. Mm-hmm. And that was his message to Odell Beckham Jr.
He's pretty ugly.
And I get it. I get why Charles Barkley said that. But don't you feel you and I were here last year in the off season when things really blew up for Odell Beckham Jr.? And look at the season he had last year. So I'm not going to sit here and be a negative Nelly and say, listen, Odell needs to refrain from all these doing on off the field and socially and this and that, because it's going to, you know what, until I see it, because this young man is so amazing. His work ethic is bar none. When you talk to a lot of people, he might, you know, be dating this one, dating that one, whatever the rumors are. He's on TMZ, he's on Deadspin, whatever the case may be. But when he's here and he's practicing and he's on that football field and he's playing, he is the best player on this team. And until that changes and there are guys in that locker room that have concerns, I'm not worried about it, Paul.
I'm going to add a magical word to this whole mixture of this conversation: competitor. He is a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get a guy who is truly a competitor, that tends to push a lot of things aside. So I'm with you on this. But I also know you've had a very strong take about Adam Henry, the new receivers coach brought in from LSU. And both of us have met him. We've talked to him. You especially, though, believe that he's going to be a big part of Odell's season this year.
I do. And listen, that's why he was brought in here. Mm-hmm. You know, he coached Odell at LSU for 2 years, and the two of them, I've had conversation with him. I really like him. I think he's a really nice guy. And this is why he was brought here, is to gel and connect and have a relationship, a professional, obviously, coaching relationship with Odell, somebody that Odell respects and is going to listen to.
And quite frankly,
especially the two games that he goes up against Josh Norman.
I was just going to say, those may be the two most important games that Coach Henry's here for.
Exactly. So let's take one more call.
Yeah.
Let's go to Virginia. We'll end the show with Justin. Justin, you're up. End it strong. Bring it home for us, my friend.
Hey, how's it going today, guys?
Great.
Paul, this question's for you. And I know you're a big Will Johnson guy. I mean, do you think he could take the job from Will Tyer or Larry Donnell at tight end?
I think Will Johnson will probably see more snaps at tight end than anybody else on this roster. Now, he may not always line up as an inline tight end, although he can do that very, very well, and he's a good blocker at doing it. He can be an H-back. He can be a fullback. He can be the move tight end. He's got the ability to play all four spots out of that, quote, H-back, fullback, tight end role. And I know this. He's looking forward to it. It's the reason he signed here, okay? The Pittsburgh Steelers liked him. He's a good player. He's physical. He's tough. But they gravitated in the last year or two to more of a pass-catching tight end. And so he saw an opportunity that the Giants had for him that he'd be playing a lot. And that's why he came.
I'm curious. Do you know the time frame as to when he left Pittsburgh as opposed to when Pittsburgh signed Ladarius Green?
Ooh, let's take a look.
I'm just curious. Do you have any other questions?
I think it was before the free agency period. They let go Will Johnson, then Green. They signed Green like the first week of free agency, I thought. I'm not too sure, though.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I do know this. They very much wanted to get more pass receiving out of the position, more athletic and quicker and getting some stuff downfield. That's what they were hoping for because they think that Bell and Williams and their offensive line, they've got it going there already. They didn't need the extra blocking as much out of the tight end spot. They wanted more of a receiving threat to open things up. But the Giants are exactly the opposite. They've got receiving threats at tight end. They need somebody who's going to get dirty, somebody who's going to crack heads. And Will Johnson, well, I don't want to use that phrase, I'm sorry, but Will Johnson's going to get his nose dirty.
Okay. Anything else before we let you go?
One more thing that, like, Giants fans need to consider. The offensive line is going to get, like, major improvement from Coach Solari. Like, what he did with San Francisco and Frank Gore. Like, Giants fans need to realize that. But that's all I got. And thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Bye.
Mike Solari's track record is really good. And you and I both like Pat Flaherty. Let's not pull any punches on this. We were both Flats fans and did a great job here for a lot of years. Sometimes it just comes to a time where the voice, the same voice for a long, long period of time.
The message gets old, unfortunately.
Yeah, it just does. Mm-hmm. You know? How many offensive line coaches do you know last with the same team for more than a decade? It does not happen very often.
No.
So this was a change for change. And the guy they brought in has an equally impressive resume as Flats. So, yes, I am a Mike Solari fan. And I know that Eric Flowers, in particular, has said some nice things about him. So that's good.
Paul, it's been a fun show, as always.
We really have to go.
We do. I'm back tomorrow with John Schmelk. So definitely stay tuned to that. And I'm back on Friday with Jeff Fiegels, which I'm pretty excited about. Do you have another show this week?
I don't think so.
So that would mean that Lance and John are on for Thursday.
I tell you what I can tell the folks out there. If you want to watch on television, Giants Training Camp Live on MSG. First show will be on Friday, 6 o'clock live, because that is the first day of training camp practice. And that will be with me. So I'm looking forward to it.
Who's hosting with you?
Don't know yet.
You don't know yet. Just
David Deal, says John Schmelk.
David Deal. Fantastic. Good stuff. Thank you so much for tuning in. And again, we're here. We are your one-stop shop for all things Giants training camp. So make sure you tune into the show every day. Make sure you go online to Giants.com for interviews. And make sure, again, you watch all our programs on MSG. Have a great afternoon, everybody.